You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time to get action with Action Station Aotearoa, the segment where we chat with the people campaigning for a fairer future.
Back in March, the Immigration Enhanced Risk Management Amendment Bill passed its first reading in Parliament, and it's currently in the Select Committee phase, with a report due by mid-August. The bill makes some significant changes to how Aotearoa New Zealand's immigration system operates, particularly for refugees and those seeking asylum. Some key points include the prevention of individuals from applying for a further visa while in New Zealand after withdrawing an asylum claim, and greater restrictions on the rights of those seeking asylum for humanitarian appeals. However, particular attention has been drawn to new powers that would be given to immigration officers, which would allow them to request information of those they may suspect of being in breach of their visa conditions, or who may be liable for deportation. These powers have been compared by critics to those wielded by the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency, or ICE, in the United States. Many of the organisations who work with refugees and asylum seekers in Aotearoa are greatly concerned at the consequences that the proposed legislation will have for those who live in this increasingly precarious position. So, for this week's Get Action, I spoke with the advocacy lead at the Asylum Seekers Support Trust, Becky Little, on their petition to stop the proposed Immigration Enhanced Risk Management Amendment Bill. Kia ora, Becky. So, starting off, can you give us a bit of an explainer on what this amendment is proposing and what it's proposing to change?
So, this bill is called the Immigration Enhanced Risk Management Bill, and there's also a parliamentary paper that got added to it with additional proposals at the last minute. It's a really boring and long-winded name for a bill, and that's kind of the purpose of it, to kind of just swamp us in a very dull title. But it contains some really important changes and proposals that seek to erode Aotearoa's long-standing commitment to fundamental human rights and humanitarian principles. And it's clear that the effect of these changes that are proposed will have significant negative impact on everyone, all visa holders, but especially people seeking asylum and refugees who we look after, and the broader refugee protection framework in Aotearoa. So it's been quite concerning to everybody in the sector, but as I say, it potentially can affect everybody, citizens, temporary residents, lawful or not. The main proposals in the bill affect people's right to stay if they find love or are offered a job if you've been seeking asylum, their rights to appeal to stay on humanitarian grounds, but it also affects everybody's right to live free from being required by immigration officers to provide ID on request in the community at home or at work. And these are the kind of like almost like new ICE-style powers that we're really, really worried about. And we're really alarmed by these new kind of powers of inspection, because they will enable immigration officers to be able to request ID documentation from people they suspect could be liable to deportation or in breach of their visa conditions. And we know from our recent past, that in practice, it's clear that these powers are likely to extend to people who are in Aotearoa legally, such as people seeking asylum and refugees that we work with, but also residents or citizens, and will be abused disproportionately against people based on their race, ethnicity, or country of origin. And we've seen this. We see this currently overseas, but we've seen this in our own recent past in terms of like the Dawn raids and stuff. So, and the minister was aware of all of this feedback, even from her own ministry when she would propose this, that it would disproportionately affect certain communities. But it's particularly harmful to people seeking asylum and refugees who we work with, because many of them experience heightened and harmful government monitoring in their own countries of origin. That's kind of why they're here. So it's particularly harmful to people seeking asylum. Many have fled countries where questioning, document checks and government monitoring were used to intimidate and control people, and they've come here seeking safety. And Aotearoa should be a place of safety, not fear and suspicion. And this big part of this bill really kind of puts that at risk. But there's other things in this bill. Like, it's a huge bill that has a lot of things dumped into it. And the ICE-style powers for immigration officers to request ID is just one of them. There's also this ban on alternative visa pathways for people who withdraw their asylum claim, which is just cruel and, frankly, just a bit counterproductive. It'll ban people seeking asylum from getting a partnership visa because they've fallen in love. They're in a settled relationship with a New Zealand partner. It's just cruel. The asylum process in New Zealand is one that's extremely long. It's extremely protracted. And during that time, it's kind of inevitable that you'll probably form a relationship. You may well form a relationship with someone who's here because you're here for such a long time. And if you can't get a partnership visa because you can't withdraw your asylum claim, it's absurd in a way. Like, this is a way that the partnership visas are a natural part of someone who's been here a long time,
yeah,
who's fallen in love.
And I mean, the government has stated a prioritisation, or at least the Prime Minister has directly stated a prioritisation of social stability when it comes to immigration more broadly. I mean, does this change, like, kind of removing the ability for people to have that established, stability in Aotearoa New Zealand through the job-specific work-to-residence visas and partnership visas, does it reflect that kind of sentiment?
Yes, of course, it does. It doesn't. That's what I mean. It's kind of like they want their social... Seeking asylum is just extremely uncertain. It's really long. It's really protracted. So, if on that way you get offered a job, and it's a job that New Zealand needs filled because of the skills that you've brought with you, when you fled your country, you crossed a border, you sought safety somewhere else, from war, persecution, climate change. You know, you bring with you your skills. And if you are offered a job that New Zealand needs filled whilst you are waiting and waiting and waiting for your asylum claim to be processed, we're talking between, 3 to 6 years for it to come to a final determination. It's extremely long. It's extremely long. And, if you're offered a job during that time that we need filled, it seems absurd that we're not going to be able, that people won't be able to take it. Like, we've got someone who was in our hostel recently who, because of their skills, they were offered a job in our public sector. Like, everybody wins in this scenario. You know, if a person finds safety and certainty in an alternative manner, it's cruel to keep them locked into a really traumatic, often traumatic asylum process. And it's a really long and uncertain life. So it is completely the opposite of promoting stability and social cohesion. You know, these are jobs that New Zealand needs filled. That's why someone gets offered this kind of work to residence visa or skills-based rent visa. See, people fall in love and get married. It's just like, these are the ties that bind us all together and bring joy. So it's completely the opposite to what the Prime Minister talks about when he talks about bringing more stability and social cohesion. The fact is that proper organised asylum processes and refugee processes add to safety and stability and add to social cohesion. So it's these attempts at marketing these asylum seekers as something that undermines it is entirely opposite to what it actually is actually happening on the ground.
Now, one of the points you've discussed in the petition is the conflation of asylum seekers with criminals. Now, we can speculate as to whether anti-immigrant and anti-refugee sentiment have, fueled that part of the legislation. Yeah. But to what extent do you think the reverse will occur from this, that such legislation treating asylum seekers and serious criminal offenders under the same risk management framework, to what extent do you think that will feed that kind of sentiment and rhetoric?
Oh, it's entirely the point. It's entirely the point, I think, of dumping them all into one bill. The bill contains lots and lots of measures that affect the refugee protection framework and particularly asylum seekers. But there's also a few in there relating to serious criminals who are like New Zealand raised. And the purpose of this is to make this problematic conflation between serious criminal offending by long-term residents and measures targeting asylum claimers. And as you say, packaging them both under this framing of enhanced risk management, saying everybody's a risk, right? But these provisions address entirely different populations with entirely different legal statuses. One group has been convicted of serious crimes. The other is exercising their fundamental right to be recognised as a refugee under the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and the Refugee Convention. And these are like fundamental rights that we all have, that's a safeguard for all of us. So like grouping them in this single bill undermines the public understanding of what the asylum process is and reinforces a damaging association between asylum seeking and criminality that's not accurate, not justified, and it risks putting a very, very vulnerable community at risk. Because I can't even begin to tell you, because we've worked in this space now, the Asylum Seeker Support Trust has worked in this space now for 30 years. So we're kind of quite well placed to be able to comment on just how precarious the life of someone seeking asylum is in Aotearoa, and like our charity helps support people through that process through wraparound welfare support. We provide emergency accommodation, material aid through the whole journey of their asylum claim, but also the precarity of living life on the margins in Aotearoa. It's not an easy life at all. It's not, you know, you're constantly searching for jobs because you have quite short, you're able to work, which is great, but you have quite short-term work visas. And you know, the majority of people, like we see, is men, women, children, families who are seeking safety here. So it's a really incredibly hard life. And rather than kind of talk about the whole complex picture that's contributing to the pressure on the asylum system or resourcing it properly, what they're effectively trying to do with like their talks about we've had, you know, increase in numbers or whatever, is they're trying to put responsibility for really under-resourcing a system for poor planning and effectively laying at the door of people seeking asylum themselves. And this bill is a vehicle for doing that. It's a poor way to make law. In doing so, it employs a damaging narrative about people seeking asylum that's not accurate, it's not supported, it's not justified, and it's reckless to the safety of this very small and very vulnerable community. We're talking like a community, like it's so small. Our numbers of people seeking asylum are tiny. They're a tiny proportion of our country. And this is now like the second bill in like 8 months kind of focused around them. The amount of time that it's been put through this parliament to build this narrative around asylum seekers that seeks to constrain our compassion and to kind of justify rolling back on certain rights and that people have to kind of seek safety that we all have. It's just huge amounts of resourcing that's gone into doing that. And this reality is that this is a very, very small proportion of our population who are here just exercising their fundamental right to seek safety. So it's a bill that is mean-spirited at its very heart. And it's disappointing. It's disappointing. And we've been opposing it really strongly all the way through. But lots of people in the refugee sector have, lots of migrant communities have, because of this kind of the toxicity of this, to do with the bill, that it kind of seeks to put asylum seekers in this same basket of people who are serious criminals. And everybody is therefore in this legislative bin of a bill is they're seeking to say are dangerous. And it couldn't be further from the truth when I see the young children in our offices who are just trying to get by whilst they get some kind of certainty on safety. So it's It's disappointing, Bill, and we're hoping it doesn't get passed for either get recommended from the Select Committee, and doesn't get passed for second reading. So, and that the if it does, that the opposition come to the party and commit to repealing it. It does go through.
That was the advocacy lead at the Asylum Seekers Support Trust, Becky Little, on their petition to stop the proposed Immigration Enhanced Risk Management Amendment Bill. If you'd like to sign their petition, you can find it on the Action Station website or in the description for this interview on our BCast page.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.